Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. What a week it's been. It's so funny watching The Apprentice. I don't know if you got to see The Apprentice on TV. It's definitely worth a catch up. I'm sure it's not blowing it all because it's been out a few days to share that they had to create, their task was to create a non-alcoholic drink. And I got super excited because Alan Sugar, you know, delivers his lines about how it's the fastest rising trend. And they go to some really trendy bar and have a discussion about it. But honestly, I don't know what you thought. I'd love to know. But really, it was just incredible. Clearly none of them had ever had an alcohol-free drink. I mean, other than, you know, lemonade and Coke. They had no concept of what it was they were trying to do. So they literally kind of kicked straight in with trying to recreate an alcoholic drink without the alcohol. So, you know, the Vodify was their idea, one team. You know, to try and recreate vodka. Well, why would you even do that? I mean, not that I've ever been a vodka drinker, thank God. I didn't hit that slippery slope. But you know, I'm told that it has no taste anyway. You know, you're only having vodka for everything that covers the taste up. You know, if you're really going to try and do that, like properly replicate an alcohol-free drink, do what liars do. You know, choose a whiskey or rum or gin and you know, mix that with some great botanicals or go for, do something. Something like Sea Arch and just start from a completely different place. Don't try and replicate vodka, you know, come in with your own fabulous botanicals. But so, you know, consequently, of course, it was a disaster. It just tasted apparently like water with a bit of lime and salt, salty water. And then it was, I mean, it was funny. Alan Sugar delivered the fantastic line. I didn't write it down, I should have done. He said something like, the whole idea of creating these drinks is that people drink them and don't get drunk. Well, that definitely won't happen because this won't be drunk by anyone. And then he also said, thank you, this looks like the sample I recently took to my doctor. So, it wasn't a huge success. But then, to top it all, literally to cap it all, the winners, who did manage to sell shed loads of cases somehow to a supermarket, no idea how. I think that was possibly because the BBC were in town. They, as winners, their reward, their prize, is to go and make cocktails. Yeah, you heard that right. Incredible. Why didn't they send them then on a fantastic mocktail making workshop with Camille or somebody, you know, like do it properly? But they actually reward them with alcohol after their task has been to create an alcohol-free drink, honestly. Cannot make it up, right? It's funny, though. The other thing I noticed this week in the press was, I think I mentioned that last week there was that study of just how much people were drinking. I mean, staggering amounts, 50 units a week was cited and a real growing number as well. And they were really focusing on the link, you know, the rise in deaths due to alcohol, which was all very, gloomy news. But then, of course, this week, just the other day, there was another piece came out that said any level of drinking can lead to a loss of a healthy life. The World Heart Foundation did this study talking about how it wanted to challenge the widespread notion that drinking moderate amounts of alcohol can decrease the rate of heart disease. So in other words, you know, they want to pull back against this nonsense that alcohol is good for you. They're calling for action. They're saying the portrayal of alcohol as necessary for a vibrant social life has diverted attention from the harms of alcohol use, as have the frequent and widely publicised claims that moderate drinking, such as a glass of red wine, can offer protection against cardiovascular disease. These claims are at best misinformed and at worst an attempt by the alcohol industry to mislead the public about the danger of their product. Well, I couldn't agree more. No shit, Sherlock. Finally, let's put a couple of studies out there that tell it like it is. And of course, if you choose to drink, it's your choice. It's absolutely fine if you choose to drink. You know, I am not for prohibition, because I know if I talk about something like that, the backlash comes in. Oh, you're such a killjoy. Oh, for God's sake, let people make their own choices. You know, I'm grown up. Just because that's your thing, just because you had a problem, I love it when you get that one. Just because you clearly couldn't hold your beer, doesn't mean I can't. I'm good. Well, great. Absolutely great. Nobody, well, not that I know of, is standing preaching that all alcohol should be banned. That's not what we're saying. If you won't be listening to this, for starters, unless, you know, if you've got a super healthy off switch, it won't be a thing for you any more than eating kiwi fruits is a thing for me. I don't need to listen to podcasts about it, right? But anyways, thankfully, a little bit more news is getting out there, which has to be good, doesn't it? If you are coming to the end of your dry January, you're on, you know, on 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks or whatever, then I hope it's going well for you. Stay strong. Just hold the line. Do it till July. Do it for 6 months. Do it for 100 days. Don't stop now. The benefits will just be starting to kick in. There's so many people in the Sober Club who are a few weeks in and you know, it's up and down. It's a real roller coaster. Some are not sleeping well. Some are feeling quite chaotic and raw, something I absolutely identify with. Others are starting to feel energy already, but it really varies. So, you know, just stick with this thing. Stick with it. And if you've already relapsed, hate that word, but if you've already, you know, tripped up and had a drink, okay, get back on the horse then. It's fine. Just do this thing because, you know, it's worth it. It's seriously worth it. And I had a lovely message the other day from someone who said she'd been listening to the podcast, and she said she was a nurse and had even been working with people who had serious illness due to alcohol. So kind of wondering why she had turned to alcohol. It's a thing, isn't it? We all, you know, it's incredible. We don't, the cognitive dissonance is just remarkable for so many of us for so many years. But she finally stopped, which is wonderful. And she said, you know, I'm just so grateful that the podcasts have helped me to realise that there is this middle area. Of course, she knew she wasn't as bad, in inverted commas, as her patients who were dying from alcohol abuse. Of course, that wasn't her. But she also wasn't fine. Right. And when we recognise this middle ground and we recognise you don't have to be caught in the alcohol trap, you absolutely don't. You can step off that booze elevator. You really can. So always tell someone. She told me, and I'm really grateful that she did. You've got to share. You've got to tell someone, and preferably get connected with people who, you know, have been there, done it. They know what it feels like. They know that it can be tough in those early weeks, but they're also now reaping just incredible benefits, you know, sometime later. On that note, though, just to say, one of the things I've been talking about for absolutely ages, well, Family Constellations, of course, our event is this Sunday. There are still some spaces. If anyone's interested, just go to thesoberclub.com, click on events. So I've been talking a lot about Family Constellations and a lot about how we can deal, how we can face trauma, whether that's trauma with a big T or trauma with a little T, but the stuff we carry around with us. And the reason this is really felt so at the forefront of everything is because, well, partly because we've had a hell of a mental health crisis, you know, in this country with everything that's gone down. But also because we do recognise, I am in contact with people all the time who recognise that once the booze is gone, once they're not able to just numb out from everything, stuff has to be faced. And often this can bring us to a place where we feel uncomfortable about something that's happened in the past, or we're ready to face our phobias, or we're ready to challenge our limiting beliefs. So for so many of us, this is when the real work starts. You know, choosing to ditch the booze, getting sober in inverted commas, is just the start. And then you're on to the rest of your life and making it better. And it is possible to have that resilience once you ditch the booze, to look at some of this stuff, even if it's hard. And obviously, as you know, I do coaching and I offer EFT, emotional freedom technique, which is tapping. Most people have heard of tapping now, tapping on various meridians, which it can be really beneficial in helping sort of release the emotional charge. It doesn't take away the experience. Of course it doesn't. Whatever happened to you, happened to you. However you're feeling is very real, but it helps you put things in perspective and reduces that emotional charge. But the other work that I do that I haven't spoken about much because it's so goddamn hard to explain is matrix ring printing. It sounds like a very fancy name. So I thought, what am I doing? Why don't I get the founder, the creator of Matrix onto the podcast, and he can share this, you know, how this amazing technique works. So without further ado, here he is, Carl Dawson.
Carl Dawson is one of only 29 EFT masters worldwide, and over the last 18 years, he's taught thousands of EFT trainees from all over the globe on how to transform even their emotional health to overcome physical and psychological issues by releasing stress and trauma from their energy systems. It all sounds very magical. Carl, welcome.
Hi, Journey. It is magical.
It is. It really is. And it's so lovely to be able to interview you. I've not seen you for ages, but of course you played a very big part in my life when I trained in Matrix. And it was a good few years ago now, but I still have to always say afterwards, it's quite difficult to explain because, of course, not everybody knows what it is. So I thought, well, why not get you on? You know, you're the man, you're the master. So we can talk about EFT and we can talk about Matrix. But just before we sort of get into all of this fascinating stuff, just take us back in time. Tell us a little bit about your journey and what led you to seek out any of these healing modalities in the first place.
Okay, so back 2002, I mean, obviously I'm from the north, from Bolton, actually, and just, you know, your normal man from Bolton. Around my 30s, I suffered 10 years, incredible pain, just about everywhere, shoulders, knees, had a ruptured disc, L5 sacrum, you know, couldn't work, and just life was going, you know, further down and down and down. And then I ended up getting divorced, and every time I went to the doctors for an issue, you know, I used to be there every week, and painkillers and you know, stomach issues, da, 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 da. And there's just no answers. So when I got divorced, just a series of synchronicities led me to end up at a health retreat in Koh Samui, Thailand, which was about detox. It was fasting and yoga meditation, and the resident therapist there, he did acupuncture. He did, what else did he do? Hypnotherapy. And he kept talking about this emotional freedom techniques, which didn't resonate at all. I was so dissociated and cut off by that stage and like kind of depressed. And I thought, well, I don't have any emotional issues. My issues are all like mechanical. It's pain. What's that got to do with emotions? So that's how I started. But he sent me these newsletters, led me to Gary Craig, the creator of EFT's newsletter, which then led to a free manual. I read the manual, fascination, you know, wonderful manual. It talks about psychology and energy. And I thought, you know, this could be an answer. So I sought out local practitioners back then, like 2002, and things started to change. The pain started to diminish. You know, the health got better, the happiness got more frequent. And then realized in my new life, I wanted to be a practitioner. So I just became an obsessional course junkie. You know, went, as many of us at the beginning, went course after course after course, bought every book, I think probably every Hay House author, every Nightingale Conan DVD set with all the great people. And and then a couple of years in, I've been a practitioner myself. One particular day, I had three new clients, they were all teachers. And I asked myself the question, very auditory, it's like, what does this mean? Three new clients and they're all teachers in one day. And then I just had this realization, you've got to teach this now. So that was the next step. And so I was teaching and started off to quite small classes. And then 2007, Gary Craig did this master's program. It only ran for 2 years, incredibly difficult to get onto it. There only have 29 people that got through the whole like year system. But after that, he just put us into a whole new level of limelight. You know, advertisers as like his chosen ones. So, you know, the courses got bigger, started traveling, you know, outside of the UK to train. And my sister Caroline, who'd been a nurse her whole career, lived in Australia, she said, you know, why don't you come over to Australia? I'll get a group of nurses together and you can come and teach us all the EFT. I was like, well, it's not a hard one, is it? Yeah, group of nurses, go to Melbourne, see the sister. And it was there that I had, by accident almost, been playful with EFT, the first Matrix session.
Right. And then Can I pause you there before we get into that? Let me just pause you there, because this is a fabulous story, but there'll be some people who are still a few months back or years back and thinking, well, number one, what is EFT? So you can hopefully describe that a little bit for us. But also, was this the first time then for you that you'd ever even made the connection then between your physical health and your emotional well-being and the mind-body connection? Was that literally the starting point for you?
With EFT? Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, some things are obvious, like your stress affects you, and that's emotional, and depression, anxiety. But not that, you know, my key problem was the physical pains I suffered from every day. I mean, agonizing to the stage where I couldn't move at times. You know, to me, that was just purely physical. How could that be emotional or trauma-based?
So was it emotional and trauma-based, or was there a physical response?
Oh, no, it's absolutely. You know, of course, you know, you can have an accident and something physically gets damaged. But even then, the trauma of the accident can keep things in place. Yeah. You should heal and you don't.
Yeah.
But this was pure your negative beliefs, feeling like not strong enough, not good enough. You know, the whole body is a metaphor. You begin to see that.
Yeah.
That, you know, the muscular system, the skeletal muscular system is always about your strength.
Yeah.
And if there's things like, I'm not strong enough to hold on to something, you're going to end up with some pain in the hand. And if you're not strong enough to move forward, it's going to be pain in the feet and the legs. And
if you've got back pain, you're often not supported, right?
Yeah, it's not supported. And the lower back pain is like really core, critical, lack of self-worth, you know, not heard, not understood. And that's what I've become. You know, I ended up, you know, things got more exasperated because then I couldn't work. So I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not fending for the family. I'm not going out doing the man's job of, you know, feeding the family. Looking at my wife, did I have a very good job? So that works okay. But then I'm in pain. My son's asking me to play football and cricket and I can't. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so then you're a bad father and all of that. Yeah, exactly. The inner critic.
It just gets worse and worse. Yeah. No, I mean, no, you know, 20 years later, no, you know, I can play squash, I can play football, like I can do anything. I have no pain. Right. You know, and that changed the way I see myself in the world. And
of course.
Yeah.
My belief. So can you describe EFT? It's not the easiest to describe, but give it a go.
Okay. Right. So I kind of do EFT and matrix together as such. The way I see trauma, and this is not just my view, this is, you know, scientific, you know, known through, you know, psychotherapy, psychiatry. When you have a trauma, when you basically freeze, that in that moment, part of yourself splits off. So we call that an echo in matrix. But it equates to, you know, shadow work. It equates to parts work in psychotherapy, in the child work. It's the same concept. We just call them echoes, the younger self. In that moment, subconsciously, part of yourself splits off. Every thought, feeling, emotion, sensation, the whole thing is encapsulated into like a little younger you stuck in your subconscious. Mm. Okay. And in that moment of trauma, you always make a decision. And it goes hardwired into the subconscious. Okay. Yeah. So you have memories. And for a child, a trauma can be parents say, go away, I'm busy. You know, you don't deserve that. Or it can be big traumas like car crashes or abuse or, okay. But that's stuck there.
Yeah.
So let's get into EFT. So you have your echo there. So, you know, even your listeners could think, no, think of just a bad memory. Don't get too deep into it. I don't want to get upset. But they're feeling absolutely fine. And suddenly they begin to think of it, you know, think about yourself. Think of a bad thing that's happened to you, Janie. You there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you start to feel an energy in your body?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Where would it be? In the stomach and the chest?
In the tummy you just start to feel a little bit wobbly.
Okay. So that wasn't there until I asked you to look at the memory. So the way to see it is these echoes actually hold the trauma. And when either, you know, you get somebody like a therapist gets you to remember something, or a life event triggers that information.
Yeah.
It's like you'll think of public speaking. I mean, you're obviously fine with public speaking as you work, but for a lot of people, think of public speaking. And then basically it's a memory from their past.
Yes.
So that comes into the body. Now EFT works very simply by tuning to that energy. So like you'll say that this big red knot of fear in my stomach, and the tapping clears that energy.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the way I see it is that the meridians, which are proven lines of energy, you know, these are not some mystical energy. They're proven lines. It's bringing information into the heart, into the lungs, into the spleen, into the kidneys, and you re-experiencing what happened that day. So the tapping actually resets it. It turns off that signal. So you can look at that memory and think, I can look at that memory now, doesn't bother me. And the success rate of actually working with the memory, where it takes 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes, is like 100%. You can cancel trauma memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that's EFT, basically. Depending on what the issue is, you might have to go to one memory. If it's like a simple phobia where a dog bit you when you was 14 years old, just go to one memory, and that can clear the phobia. So working with like a serious illness that somebody suffered with for 15 years, you might be going to dozens and dozens of memories that all contribute towards that stress and anxiety. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely does. You've explained it really, really well. And I mean, okay. You know, I know this to be true. I mean, before I trained in EFT, I was one of those people who's very skeptical about it. You know, I'd heard people
we all are.
Yeah, you know, tapping, it's for goodness sake, you know, tap the side of your eye and everything will be good. I don't think so. So I was incredibly skeptical. And then the person that I worked with actually said to me, okay, well, we'll use you as a demo, if you like, and and you don't even have to tell us what the issue is. Right? So he literally did it blind, as it were.
Yeah.
And it was just the most bizarre thing, because I just really couldn't get my head around after 20 minutes. It wasn't that the experience hadn't happened, and I still would rather not relive it, but it certainly didn't have the same emotional charge. And that's really it, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, as I said, you know, consciously, these events are over, they're in the past, but subconsciously, you're stuck in that moment still as a current ongoing event. And that to me is why I'm sure you've been there yourself and recognize this. I'm sure many of the listeners will. Once you have that event, you attract situations, you create situations, you look for proof of whatever you made that mean.
Yeah.
So if it's like I'm unlovable, you'll attract and create that all over the place. Mm. You know, the world's dangerous.
Mm.
Yeah. You will find proof of that. It's like, you buy a yellow car, you see yellow cars everywhere.
Yeah, the reticular activating system. Yeah,
that's the
and,
one.
And you're right. This is childhood stuff. Often, it's the teacher who said, "Be quiet." You know, who are you to think you can sing or whatever? And then you go through life being, you know, think you haven't got your voice. Right? It can be literal, can't it? In that respect.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was talking to having a bit of work done at the house, and yesterday the guy that's doing the floor. He was asking, he saw the books that I've got, and he said, like, oh, tell me about it. And he said, oh, this memory came up when I went to sixth form. And the teacher, I turned up on the first day, and the teacher looked at me and said, what are you doing here? And I said, when you think about that, I feel absolutely sick to my stomach. You know, this is like 30 years ago, and I still feel sick to my stomach. That's trauma.
Yeah.
And he's made a decision, like, I don't deserve to be here, I'm stupid, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then we keep running it. So that's EFT. It's quite simple, is... Yeah, the key is you've got to tune in.
Yeah.
Just tapping and saying things doesn't really work. You know, it's tuning into specific memories is where the key is. And that's why you can work blind. As you know, I can say is think about something. Jenny, I don't need to know what it is, but we can tap, and what things tends to happen is like it goes from your chest, oh no, it's in my stomach, and then it's in my throat. And all of these things is what you experienced back when it happened.
Yeah.
And bit by bit, we're turning off all these different signals that went to your body.
But what's great about it is it's very safe, isn't it? Because we don't have to take people into, you know, terrible trauma, even if it's phobias or whatever. You know, you don't have to actually go and pick up the spider, you know, or whatever is traumatizing you. You don't actually have to relive this. And you certainly don't have to have counseling for 20 years.
No, exactly. You know, and the key difference, you know, with traditional talk therapies, counselling and such, they've helped lots of people, obviously, you know, over the years. But the downfall is all of our problems are in the subconscious. And talking about it, consciously, and understanding what, when, who did what to who and why, it doesn't rewrite the subconscious.
Yeah, dead right, yeah.
Yeah, and the power of this with EFT and matrix is, with EFT, you're kind of rubbing out the subconscious. You're erasing this trauma.
Yeah.
And invariably, you know, these false memories, because when you're in trauma, the false memories that look mum gave you, or, you know, that what that person said, you make it mean something. And invariably, that wasn't, you know. Mm. So you have these false memories, the beliefs you made, controlling your life and everything you do.
And of course, a lot of this, you know, links to ill health, you know, in later life, as you've identified, but also into addiction. And obviously in the area, you know, that I work, so many people have got, you know, no idea why they've sort of ended up drinking more than they want to, or taking drugs when they're not that kind of person, in inverted commas.
And
you know, you must have found that many times in your work.
No, absolutely. You know, these things come up on a daily basis, and you want to bury them. You want to medicate, you know, whether it's, you know, drug medication or pharmaceutical medication. People just want the problem to go away.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't. It just gets worse and worse. And then you get to a point, you know, like I did 20 years ago, where it's just not cutting anymore. You can't just keep going on painkillers just trying to mask the symptoms.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the thing is, you know, as you said, it's quite easy to resolve these traumas, to change the way you see yourself in the world.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about EFT Matrix is you don't have to spend years learning these techniques. You know, it's basically like a 5-day course to do EFT and Matrix, and it's open to anybody. You know, whether I've had people as young as 14 that came because the parents said, could my child come on? They don't want to be practitioners, but just for self-help.
Yeah.
I've had the people in their 80s come on the course. You know, I've had bricklayers and tech people, and I've had doctors and psychiatrists. I mean, it's just wonderful, the array of people.
Do you think it's as easy to do this work on yourself, as it were, rather than on somebody else?
With EFT, from a self-maintenance on a day-to-day basis, it can be quite useful. But to really resolve the problem, you need to work with a practitioner.
Yeah.
Because it gets deep, you know, got to lead you to where the memories are.
Yeah.
And typically, you don't know. You just have your reaction on a daily basis, but you don't know why you behave like you do.
Yeah.
But you give me any issue.
Yeah.
You know, depression, anxiety, you know, phobia that you're not sure why you're so phobic or something. Mm. We've got techniques that we can take you back there to the origin of the problem within minutes. You know, so even kind of global things like general anxiety disorders, which of course so many people are suffering from now
because
of what's happened over the last couple of years,
is
basically triggering so many of our anxieties that normally we can kind of, you know, deal with a lot better.
So just explain a little bit about Matrix then, because, you know, I mean, it must have just been amazing when you had that light bulb.
Well, it's just kind of one step at a time. I mean, it was just, I was very aware, you know, I understood EFT completely. And then when I just worked in this slightly different way, I knew something special had happened. But it was very simple. And then it just grew and grew over the last 14 years to where we are now. And, you know, a real good understanding of how it works and why it works. To me, it's actually helped me understand how EFT works. Because a lot of people don't know. Even Gary Craig used to say, I don't know how it works, but just give it a go, you know. But to me, you know, it is the fact that we have these memories that get triggered in, and the more it happens, it gets triggered in more and more, creates more and more stress, and the longer you're in stress, you know, the body's going to change. It'll change on a cellular level, hormonal level, even like you begin to be different DNA. It's not that you've got dodgy DNA. You weren't born with it. But if you're in stress, the body's going to try to adapt and change.
Mm.
And that adaptation is called, what do we call it? Dis-ease.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So like whether it's pain or, you know, a physical, mental illness, physical illness, all the problems, it comes back to the way you're reacting to the world.
Yeah.
And we can change that by changing, you know, these early perceptions.
Yeah. What are the benefits then of Matrix re-imprinting?
Well, I'll just briefly explain how Matrix is slightly different.
Yeah.
So EFT, you tune in, tap, clear the energy. Matrix is, we see that the trauma punches like a hole into the subconscious. And we imagine sending our consciousness back into that moment. It's like time traveling back to that moment of when we were traumatized.
Yeah.
We use the EFT to de-traumatize the echo, the younger self. But we take it a step further than just the de-traumatization. We allow the memory to complete in a very positive way. So this is not just wishful thinking.
Mm.
This is actually, you're literally rewiring and re-engineering the memory.
Mm.
So instead of dad saying like, yeah, oh, don't love you, you're a terrible child, dad's giving you a hug. And that's what you remember subconsciously. So then that changes your perception.
Mm.
Then you go to the next memory on that theme, you know, and you say whether it's a simple issue with a couple of sessions or a complex issue, you know, with lots of memory supporting it. Ultimately, you know, as we change memory by memory, how you react to the world, what you create, you know, what you look for changes.
How do you kind of deal with people then who, you know, there'll be people listening to this. I know I've had clients who had very difficult, you know, they're some of their issues that they're presenting with now, it's clear that they're as a result of growing up with alcoholic parents, for example. Mm. And they've got some, you know, memories that are really lodged in there of, yeah. of you know, I remember somebody telling me that they've got a memory of when they tried to throw something at their mother, as it were, and that's mm. that's sort of held as absolute guilt and shame. Mm. But the mother was drunk. You know, you think about that as trauma. That's awful trauma for a child.
It's trauma, of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but how do you you know, in that instance, how would you re-imprint that? Because it's not going to feel quite right that they have a hug, is it? Or is it?
Well, possibly. It's never about what happened. Yeah, I've known some people, I'm sure you have, with absolutely, you know, tragic childhoods, and they're very well adjusted.
Yeah.
Some people that with amazing parents and, you know, absolute messes, you know,
yeah.
like a bit,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
but really they're dysfunctional. So it's not what happens, it's what you make it mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially in the first 6 years when we're in Delta and Theta and we just take everything into the subconscious. So in a situation like that, We would tap on the echo, calm them down, and then literally we communicate with them, ask them what they made it mean. And based on what they made it mean is how we would get resolution.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, as you're saying that, they think it's their fault, the guilt and shame. Yeah, because no matter what happens with a child, the child always thinks it's their fault.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Divorce, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. How can mum be wrong? How can dad be wrong? Yeah. How can the rapist be wrong? How can the teacher be wrong? And just being able to go in there, like you, if you was communicating with little Janie, you can go in there and say, look, this is not your fault. Mum has problems. You were doing the best you could.
Yeah.
You know, so you can get a great deal of resolution. And we'd even work with mum. We could tap on mum and say, like, why did you behave like this? And mum said, oh, you know, I had these difficult things and I was just trying to. And the child gets to understand that. Mm. So, you know, what we're doing with Matrix is just resolution and understanding. It's not trying to make things go away and pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
But just understanding back then, you know, they were doing the best they could. It wasn't their fault as a child. And that, you know, changes the way you react now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't need to keep doing it anymore. You complete the memories so you don't need to keep, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over.
Mm.
It's what we tend to do, isn't it?
Fabulous freedom, isn't it? When you can,
yeah,
we can move away from that.
I'm guessing you've had a few Matrix sessions.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I use it, you know, within my work a little bit, not all the time, but more recently as well. I've trained in family constellations as well, so I'm really really fascinated, you know, by this whole area. And I mean, that was going to be my next question: is, you know, where when you're working with people. You know, I'm guessing you sometimes take them right back to, you know, being in the womb or further back than that. And I'm guessing sometimes there's, you know, the inherited family trauma piece can come in.
No, absolutely. You know, as I said, in the last 14 years, went from, you know, very simple and standard, a quick way of resolving trauma to, you know, in recent years, actually my sister, the nurse I was talking about, has gone to be like the expert in past lives. And she's just
a webinar series.
Yeah, she's just like, you know, which is kind of amusing. She was such a down-to-earth nurse, like, you know, and now she's like spiritual bunny and a
speciality. Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's great. This really reconnected us, you know, because we both left home the same day, basically.
Yeah.
I was 21, she was 23. And we kind of lose touch, you know, over the years when we're in Australia. Now we have an amazing relationship. She comes over a lot, you know, and she's actually runs EFT and Matrix training in the whole of the Australasia area.
Wow.
So no, it's been beautiful, yeah. And, but yeah, you know, we have our individual traumas, absolutely. But we also have family patterns that are passed down.
Yes.
I talked about them for 6 years in Delta and Theta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're watching your parents and downloading all the information. So when you end up with a disease similar to them, this is not because they've passed on dodgy genes.
Yeah.
They've passed on dodgy beliefs.
Yeah.
Dodgy
yeah.
ways of reacting to the
and
world.
And it's held in cellular memory, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah. So so we've got that. Then we've got cultural fields.
Yeah.
You know, we look at the things that are happening now. We've got fields that we buy into, like, you know, the medical field, the scientific field, the religious fields.
Yeah,
that we tune into all these things, even fields of being human. You know, how does a baby know? If a baby's born, the instant it comes out, if you just rest the baby on the mother's stomach, it would naturally crawl up, latch on, and start to breastfeed. You know, that's a field of information. They don't have to be taught that.
Mm.
You know, and so at all these different levels, there are patterns, there are fields that are controlling our behaviour. But to me, the key one is our personal experiences. Mm. You know, these pre-6 experiences where we made these beliefs and decisions, because that really screws you up.
Mm.
You know, depending on what you made it mean.
Yeah, and of course, I say this a lot, but for those of us who are parents, you know, just even hearing this stuff makes you feel really fearful, because it's like, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done to my kids? But a very wise Family Constellations trainer once said to me, the more work you do, the less they have to do.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah.
I mean, we all, you know, our own kids are going to be in therapy, for God's sake, right?
Yeah, but, you know, what I love about these skills is that we can teach parents, as the kids, you know, on a daily basis, just do a little bit, 5 minutes tapping each day to clear the stuff. You know, our job is to screw up our kids.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, when I first read Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, she said, like, you know, we choose our parents. I'm like, that's a bit out there for me. No, with this work, you totally see it. Mm. You're the perfect. So when my daughter, who's done the course a few times and totally understands this work, she said, oh, that issue, that's because of you, Dad. And I went, you chose me.
Yeah.
And I said, and you know, I've got the best practitioners in the world. If you want to sort it out, we can sort it out, anything. And that's the way I see this now.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
I think we came down not to just cruise through life. I think we predetermined kind of certain things we'd always go through. Mm. And if you don't do it, your kids, Janie, your partner will, the sibling will, the teacher will, you know, whatever that child is, it's going to stick and it's going to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
But now we have these wonderful skills that we can evolve a lot quicker. And looking at what's happening on our planet, we need to evolve quicker. Our kids need to, you know, help. They're struggling.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've got lots of practitioners now looking at taking them to schools and, you know, taking it everywhere. We're taking it to prisons, to schools, to nurses taking it into the NHS.
Yeah. Because, you know, if we all knew how to better handle our emotions and look at our limiting beliefs, life would be so much easier, right? Most of us just get stuck in this stuff. Tell me a bit more about the, you know, we started off by talking about this, you sort of being in, you know, fight or flight mode or whatever. You know, for people who find themselves in one of those states, is there a quick, simple technique that anyone can use for themselves when they recognize? Because part of it is actually accepting, okay, right, in this moment, I've got a memory, or I'm being triggered by something and I'm feeling super panicky, or I'm feeling completely frozen, you know, whatever it is. What is there anything you would recommend?
I mean, just a few things, actually. Just the basic tapping when you're in that state, and just doing the tapping, it's so easy to learn the points. I mean, you can go on YouTube. I mean, you can even like do something yourself, Jenny.
Yeah, I'll put it in show notes. I've got a video. Yeah.
For your folks, you know, and just tap in and just tune into the feeling. Just, you know, just say the sick feeling in my stomach, you know, that this shaking in my legs.
Yeah.
And
actually stating what's going on can be beneficial.
What's happening in your body, tuning into it, you know.
See, that was a difficult one for me at the beginning. When I first started training in this work, I was so steeped in the whole Louise Hay world of affirmations in the positive.
Yeah.
So when I first started training, I couldn't get my head around this bit, because to actually be saying out loud the negative felt really counterproductive.
Yeah,
but then of course I had to realize that you can't, that lovely expression, you can't clean the house till you can see the dirt, right?
I think that was Louise Hay that said that. Yeah. She became a big fan of EFT, even though the Queen of Affirmations. Yeah, and exactly that, you know. So the what we're doing is we tune into the negative to clear it.
Yeah.
So it sounds negative, but you know, so you've got to clear that.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing affirmations. You can't make a positive statement if the subconscious is saying no. Not having that feels wrong.
Yeah.
And just try your affirmation, people. Try making affirmations.
Yeah.
And see how your body feels.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, I'm rich and happy. And,
and
your body will say, no, you're not. Right, because there's a belief going against it. So, absolutely. So, back to your question, you know, things like anxiety, yeah, self-maintenance on a daily basis, that's going to help. Another technique, very simple, that's going to be very helpful as well, is just some heart breathing. Hand on your heart.
That was where I learned about the heart math stuff on your course. And I'm forever grateful to you for introducing me to that. Sorry, carry on anyway.
No, it's just so simple. Just into your heart, into six.
Yeah, standing with your hand on your heart and literally just
that's,
breathing.
That's where the breathing, not into your stomach, and there's all kinds of breathing patterns. It's into six, out to six.
Yeah.
And even, you know, if you talk about heart math, the simplest exercise, just focus on something that gives you happiness and joy.
Yes, exactly.
Like being by the seaside.
Someone you love, or your pet dog,
or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And those two things can really just help you keep balanced. But the with our practitioners would be then to go and see what is causing that anxiety, resolve the childhood issues, you're not needing to constantly balance yourself.
Yeah.
You clear the route out, you know, and then when that thing happens in your life, you don't get triggered.
Yeah.
Basically, anxiety is the energy of the trigger. Does that make sense?
Say that again.
Anxiety is the energy of the trigger.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. As in, whether it's being alone or feeling that somebody doesn't like you or whatever it is, people just react and feel like they feel anxious.
Mm.
But that anxiety, which is energy, is actually goes back to whatever that belief was, and that person's just triggered it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, that anxiety is the energy. You know, it's not the chemicals are mixed up, or you know, you've got a Prozac deficiency or something, you know, anti-anxiety tablet deficiency. That's not the problem. You know, something in the world has triggered you, and that can be erased.
Yeah. You know, it must be absolutely amazing to be you with all these people that you've trained who are all doing all this incredible work. Let's just be how fabulous that this is, you know, spreading out so far. I mean, you must have trained God knows how many people. And just what an incredible difference that it's made. Do you want to blow your own trumpet?
No, it is the best job in the world. Being a practitioner is amazing. To be a practitioner and to help people, but then to teach practitioners to help, you know, lots of people.
It is
a pretty cool job. And then I love traveling, and I love hotels and traveling, and you know, it's like 25-26 countries now. So I just got back from Croatia and spent four days training these folks out there. Just amazing people. It's so like enthusiastic, and it is a pleasure.
So just remind us about your book. Tell us what your book's called.
Okay, the first book, which is about 12 years old now, is Matrix Reimprinting Using EFT.
Yeah.
You can find that on Amazon, no problem. Just search my name, Carl with a K, Dawson.
Yeah, I'll put it all in the show notes anyway.
And the second book, the first book with the co-author was Sasha Allen B. The second, the co-author is Kate Marillat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called Transform Your Belief, Transform Your Life. That was a big part of the evolution of Matrix, you know, 6-7 years in, realizing trauma is important, but it's the beliefs that we've got to change.
Yeah.
So the second book was really focusing on the belief change.
Brilliant. Thank you. And just tell us where people can find out more about the courses that you offer them.
Okay. Well, we've got the big Matrix website, matrixreimprinting.com, where you can find practitioners around the world.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at training, my personal website, eftcourses.com.
Brilliant. Carl Dawson, thank you so much. An absolute pleasure to chat to you. Thank you.
Great to talk to you, Jenny.
Thank you, Carl. I'll put the links in the show notes. And if that kind of stuff interests you, then absolutely last minute, if you can, come to our Family Constellations workshop, because all of this stuff is linked. There are still spaces. It's in King's Langley Hearts on Sunday 23rd. Go to thesoberclub.com and click on events and just register your interest if you can't make this one but you're interested in another one. Maybe it's your time to start facing up to stuff, because you just feel amazing when you feel a bit lighter and you can shed some of the baggage that you may have been carrying. I want to let you know too that there is a Sober by the Sea penciled in February. I don't know if anybody wants to come to the sea. in February, but get in touch if you do. And another Champneys at the end of February, which is Champneys in Tring. We've got our self-care inspiration retreat there at the end of Feb. If you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find all the information there. Don't forget that I do offer one-to-one coaching of very limited spaces, but get in touch if that's something you're interested in. And of course, get connected and check out The Sober Club if you haven't already. If you're doing this hard thing, particularly if you're coming into your last week of January, get some support, get connected, get yourself prepped, get your sober toolkit in place. All of that inspiration and motivation is there for the taking now. There's a whole world out there. I'm sure you're kind of catching sight of it now, hopefully, by the way I bang on about it, right? I will see you same time next week. You know where to find me, at Janie Lee Grace. You can always message me. Just tell someone. I think I've said that enough times now. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.